It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
Happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome in to Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke, live at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook per usual. Remember, you can give me a follow on Twitter at DannyBurke5 and VSiN at VSiN Live tonight. As you know, it's a Friday usual with our man Lou Finicaro on fire from last week's UFC fight night. We'll see if he can parlay that into another successful performance this weekend. I'm betting that he can. So we'll talk some UFC later tonight with our main man, Lou. And we'll be talking hoops with Adam Stanko in about 5 minutes or so. But of course, as you know, if you're familiar with the program, before we get to all of that, let's start you off with the pregame rush, where we get you up to speed with those closing lines and all the sports that are occurring, are really the biggest game throughout the sports platform tonight, this Friday evening. And we'll start on the ice. Let's go with the Rangers hosting the Bruins. And the Bruins are, well, they're coming off a bad, bad loss at the Coliseum, where they refused to get a win against the Islanders. They drop it 7-2. So the Rangers are also coming off a loss. That was on Wednesday at Philly, 4-3. This one opened with Boston at about minus 186. At Bet Rivers, the Bruins laying minus 175. Rangers were catching plus 150. And at Bet Rivers, you see it at about plus 148. Total's been steady at 5.5 for the most part throughout the day. It is shaded to the under minus 112, overs minus 106. But again, Bruins laying minus 175, plus 148 for the Rangers. Now, these teams did play each other, it was like a couple weeks ago, and it was a couple games, and the Bruins did win both contests. Now, this Boston team comes into this game averaging about 3 goals per game. Defensively, they're allowing about 2.5. All right, then taking a look at the Rangers, offensively, they put up 2.5. Defensively, they're allowing about 2.7 or so goals per game. Also, the Bruins are 5-0-1 in their last 6 visits to Madison Square Garden. Now, obviously, it's a little bit of an aberration based on the unique, really just format of this year, but this will be the first time that fans will be in attendance. Now, there's going to be limited, naturally. About 2,000 fans will be in attendance for the first time in nearly a year. So we'll see what, if any, impact that will have on this game. But nevertheless, could be a good bounce back spot for the Bruins, who just for some reason refuse to win on the road when they're going up against the Islanders. But a little bit too high for my liking to want to lay it as a road favorite here with Boston at minus 175. While I do believe, and as most people would agree, they are the better team, probably a little bit too steep for my liking and not enough confidence in this Rangers team to take the plus money. So overall, it would be a stay away for me, with the game starting in about a couple minutes or so on the ice between the Bruins and the Rangers. But all right, let's talk some Big Ten college hoops before we get to the association. We got a Big Ten game going underway just about right now. Penn State taking on Purdue, and Penn State at about minus 143 on the money line. -1.5 is where we saw this close. Total was at 139 early on here in this spot. Purdue was coming into this game 15-8 straight up on the year, 11-10-2 ATS. They're 7-3 ATS their last 10 games, though, so that's been an impressive run for the Boilermakers. Conversely, with Penn State, 10-10 against the spread this year, 8-12 straight up. Now they're 6-4 at home straight up, 4-6 against the spread. And Purdue has won, believe it or not, 10 of the last 11 meetings against the Nittany Lions. So early on here, as the game's just about to get underway, again, we see Purdue close as a slight favorite. Penn State as the slight dog. Penn State as a narrow favorite, now at about minus 124, 130-ish range, where we see it bouncing back and forth. But all right, let's recap last night's picks in the NBA with Danny's Dimes. We went 1-1 in the association. At least our winner was with the plus money and Kyle Anderson over 11.5 points at plus 103. Anderson once again cruises over his, not cruises, but he makes his way over his point total of 11.5. He went 5 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 1 from beyond the arc. Charity stripe, he made it there 4 times, hit half of those shot attempts, ended up with 13 points, so we get a dub with Kyle Anderson. But we fell victim to Chris Middleton coming alive in the fourth quarter. I believe he had 18 points going into the final period, so it wasn't looking good regardless. But he ends up with 31, so he went 14 of 24 from the floor, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, 1 of 1 from the charity stripe. Again, he ends up with 31 points, so we fall victim to Chris Middleton. 24 shot attempts. I mean, look, You know, you struggled the last time, 16 points against the Pelicans, bounce back in this performance, and ends up with 31 points. So, again, we go 1-1 on the night, and that brings us to 25-20 on our NBA bets so far this year. A couple more prop bets that I do like in the association, which, of course, we'll discuss later in Prop Shelf, UFC, like we said, NHL, and a lot more to come here on the program. And as you know, that program is Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. We are live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, broadcasting live also on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke ready to talk some hoops professionally. We're just going over some college hoops, but let's hit the NBA with our man Adam Stanko at Naismith Lives, where you can follow him on Twitter, co-host of Rejecting the Screen Pod. Adam, thanks for coming on again, my man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Danny.
Of course. Well, let's get right into it with this NBA slate. The first game of the night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Struggling Boston Celtics taking on the Indiana Pacers. Boston opening up as a 3-point favorite in this spot. Now they've dropped down to laying 2.5. They're also minus 141 on the money line, plus 123 for the Pacers. This total at 219 is where we see it resting. So look, the Pacers 0-4 ATS their last four games as an underdog, but, you know, obviously this is a pretty fortuitous spot potentially going against this struggling Celtics team. Do you see it that way, or do you see this as a good spot for Boston to bounce back?
No, I'm with you. I actually, at least what you initially said about the Pacers, I really, you know, think Boston right now is just one of these like mental funks. They can't figure it out. Jason Tatum has remarked about how COVID's impacted him, but even still, he's played fairly well, obviously. And, you know, you think about this, this two-horse monster that they have with him and Brown. But just in general, this team is just all out of sorts. We're seeing frustration from Brad Stevens. Nothing seems to be clicking. And there's times where teams go through stretches like that, and that's where Boston's at now. So I really like the Pacers tonight.
All right, well, let's look at Toronto hosting Houston, and the Rockets catching 6.5 on the road, plus 225 on the money line, minus 278 for the Raptors. This total open 219.5 is only ticked down to 219. Looks like Pascal Siakam is going to be out of this game. Now, the Rockets are on a 9-game losing streak. They haven't been on a 10-game losing streak since December 20th of 2001. So they ended up losing 15 games in a row back then. So we'll see if they're unable to get the win again tonight. It's not going to be easy, but they are getting a little bit healthier. So how much does this news of Siakam being out impact this game for you?
I mean, Siakam makes it a lot tighter. But still, I mean, the Rockets, it's interesting. You talk about Boston being in a funk, and that's one thing. The other thing is with the Rockets just really struggling to score in bunches, and that's been an issue with them offensively, having all these issues. And so, yes, not having Pascal Siakam for Toronto is a hindrance to them, but I just don't see things turning around right now for the Rockets. It was almost like they got this immediate bump after the Harden trade, and there was some inspiration there, but that's all sort of gone awry, and we're not seeing an uptick in their play, obviously. And offensively, unless they can get it together, you know, certainly is this thing could get really ugly, not just, you know, 9 in a row ugly. So I think we see double-digit losses for them. And I don't know when this losing streak actually comes to an end for Houston.
Yeah, Adam, in this Houston team, like you pointed out, I mean, when everything happened with the transactions and they're getting all these new pieces, they were a fun team. They got on a nice little winning streak. The defense improved. It looked like they had some camaraderie. Then Christian Wood goes out and everything falls apart. And then injury after injury. What is the future for this Rockets team? Not really only in this particular regular season, but long term down the road. Obviously, your kid not a fan of the Rockets team right now. But what are your thoughts on what Houston can build around this roster potentially, Adam?
Exactly. I'm actually around two of them, and one of them is a Harden fan. But now, obviously, that means that, you know, he's rooting for Brooklyn. You know, there's so much now to be figured out. And this is what happens when you change up your front office, your coaching staff. Certainly, you know, as you talk about all the personnel moves, you see now a Christian Wood frustration over lack of an all-star nod. You know, I really don't know. I mean, this combination, we're going to have to see how it plays out once we see Victor Oladipo continue to get healthier, him along with John Wall. I mean, I think that there's definitely potential, and I do think this new front office is willing to explore some of their, you know, personnel moves. David Waba is a really interesting player who's actually played really well as of late. They're looking really to see what they have. It's no longer the same core that was in place that was James Harden and a bunch of role players. Now it's who else do we have on this roster that can make a difference? And between Wood and Oladipo and Wall, if Oladipo ends up staying with the team, you know, past this season, I mean, it could be a potentially strong core that you're building upon. So there is reason for hope. There's some reason for optimism. But right now, I think that the front office is sort of taking a wait-and-see approach, seeing what they have, seeing what the chemistry looks like. And obviously right now, like I said, it's gotten pretty ugly.
All right, let's move on throughout tonight's slate. Let's go to Memphis, where the Grizzlies looking to get back-to-back wins against the Clippers, who they beat last night 122-94. The Los Angeles comes back as a 7.5-point favorite in this spot. We see the total at 224.5. So when you see this kind of situation, is that just almost not an automatic look toward the Clippers, but that's immediately where you gravitate toward? Or do you see Memphis catching these points once again and think it's a buy-low opportunity considering what they did last night?
Well, I really like the Clippers, and it's an interesting setup right now where we're seeing these series, if you will, and teams playing, you know, in consecutive games. And I'll say, like, you know, NBA oftentimes, not to say that players or teams take nights off, but it often becomes situational where, you know, they're looking at things based on the schedule. In baseball, you look at these series and you say, okay, let's win 2 out of 3, what have you. In basketball, it's, all right, we go on a road trip. Let's try on this road trip to split games on the road, and then you try to win as many as you can at home. And right now for the Clippers, though, playing a team consecutive games, I think the rationale is we cannot afford to lose 2 games to the Grizzlies, especially a team as talented as the Clippers are. And I think that's going to be the mentality. So I see a Clippers team in this scenario, which is pretty rare, obviously, in the NBA, but everything's strange in this truncated season. I see the Clippers winning big tonight.
All right, let's go to South Beach, where the Heat are a 6-point dog to the dominating Utah Jazz. Look, they're on a 2-game winning streak right now. Heat are on a 4-game winning streak, but ATS, as we know, Jazz 9-1 their last 10 games and 10-5 against the spread on the road this season. This total we see at 220, but the attention has been going to Utah naturally because how dominant they've been, not only winning, but covering that number. This Miami team is a little bit more rejuvenated. Tyler Hero is going to be out, but how do you think this game goes down with the spread at 6?
Well, first of all, we got Bam who's day-to-day right now, right? You got Tyler Hero, who you talked about being out. I got to say that I do not like the Heat in this spot. And partly because I don't know right now who the Heat are, although, like you said, there is some rejuvenation. There's some now reason to get excited again. I need to see the defense play better. But really, it's all about the Jazz, because the Utah Jazz this year, as you point out, have just been insanely good. And this team is just rolling. I mean, they've got it all figured out. It's hard to say that one of the best teams in the NBA is underrated, but they certainly are underappreciated. Rudy Gobert is going to be your defensive player of the year. Nobody's even close. And they're just getting contributions across the board. And so this team finally, with you've got another, if you want to call it, all-star snub for Mike Conley. Right now, I would not want to be playing the Utah Jazz, and even the Heat playing better are in no position, I think, to contend with them. I'd like the Jazz continue rolling like they have been recently.
All right, in our backyard here in the Windy City, the Bulls taking on the Phoenix Suns, and Phoenix opened up. It's about a 5.5-point favorite. Now they're laying 6 in the hook. This total at 226.5. So this is an interesting spot because as a dog, not necessarily at home as much have the Bulls been profitable. On the road they have. So it's a little bit unique here. But look, we know the momentum Chicago's riding coming into this game. The thing that concerns me about the Bulls here, Adam, is if you watch the last game against the Timberwolves and even just all the games prior, I mean, this is a team that turns the ball over so much and they can get away with it against those inferior teams like the Timberwolves. But you can't do it against a team like the Suns, especially a Suns team that is really good defensively. So how do you think this one goes down in Chicago?
I think you said it. I mean, it's easy to look at the Bulls and say right now they've got something figured out chemistry-wise, but you're absolutely right. Like, right now, the way that, you know, this matchup seems to be, this Suns team is winning a lot of games that they feel like. they need to win. And I think this is one of them. And so whether it's games that they're picking up, this is a different Suns team than we've seen the last few years. And that's easy to say with Chris Paul. But I think when you look at any really good team understands, these are the kinds of games you have to win when you have an inferior opponent that you're playing, even if they're riding some positive momentum, but also combined with the fact that the Suns are taking care of business against some of the games that you circle on your calendar. And so I think that I love the focus of the Suns team. That's been the benefit of adding a Chris Paul. And, of course, you talk about the rest of that core with Booker and Bridges and Aiden. I really like the Suns in this spot. And so, again, it's easy to now say that the Bulls are a trendy pick, but I'm going Suns tonight.
All right, let's go up to Detroit where the Pistons are taking on the lowly Kings, who are on a 9-game losing streak. Despite that, though, they opened up as a 1.5-point favorite. Money's been going their way. They're laying 2 in the hook now, also minus 134 on the money line. Detroit as a home dog, plus 115. This total is bumped up from 224.5 up to 227.5. Adam, is this the game where the Kings finally snap that losing streak?
I would think so. If they're going to get one, it's going to be this game. But you know, I'm just not really sure. Right? You know, the Pistons play at a deliberate pace. You know, not great offensively, below average defensively. But I'll tell you, recently, we've seen sort of, I don't know, some lineup changes for them. We're seeing again Josh Jackson, who's been up and down, but obviously had some really positives this season. He's been playing really well as of late. Isaiah Stewart, once he's getting time on the floor, has been critical. And so DeLon Wright, missing him in action, opens the door for the Kings to win this game. But a guy that I'm absolutely in love with and have been for quite some time is Sadiq Bey. And I think this is one of these games where Sadiq Bey is going to have a chance to really show up. So I like the Pistons tonight, actually, even though, I don't know, I mean, maybe my head's telling me to go with the Kings, but my gut says even without DeLon Wright, I like the Pistons.
Okay, well, let's take a look at Oklahoma City, where the Thunder have really struggled at home so far this year. Atlanta, I mean, they've been a team that's been dealing with their struggles themselves, but they seem like they're kind of getting it together as of late. They open up as a 3-point favorite. Now they're as high as 5.5, minus 220 on the money line, plus 180 for OKC. This total is bumped up pretty high from 223 up to 227. Any thoughts in this game in OKC?
Yeah, I really like the Hawks. I mean, the getting Danilo Gallinari back is, I think, absolutely huge for them. We saw the other night that he just went bananas. I don't expect him to score 38 points and hit 10 threes, certainly not 10 of 12. But I do think having that the scoring punch to have it impactful as he was, having that confidence up again, knowing that he can have another huge scoring night, I think that was huge for him, and I think it's going to be huge for the Hawks. And I think that momentum carries oftentimes for these vets when they have a monster game like this. There's something, again, that they sort of reclaim that fire. And I like that. So I'm going to go with the Hawks tonight.
All right, Adam. Hey, we appreciate your time. I know you got your hands full right now. So really, thank you for making some time. Enjoy your weekend and the games tonight. We'll talk again soon.
I promise you, my little ones are Danny Burke fans. But for whatever reason, maybe they don't like your picks, Danny. I don't know what the deal is.
I guess so. Hey, you know, that's going to be my goal, to make them like me. So we'll get there one day, but it's going to take some time. And thanks again, Adam.
Hey.
All right. At Naismith Lives is where you can follow him on Twitter. Once again, co-host of the Rejecting the Screen pod. Big thanks to Adam Stanko. Really great work covering the NBA. And really quick, just those last two games that we didn't get into as much, the Warriors and the Hornets, and then the Lakers and the Blazers, of course, we'll discuss that a little bit further on when it comes to prop shelf. But in Golden State here, we see the Warriors as about a 6.5-point favorite. 233.5 is where we see that total. So the attention has been going to Golden State. 5.5 is where the opener was. Only really news on the injury front, Cody Zeller is doubtful, so not that that necessarily moved the needle that much more, but certainly is an impact. And the Warriors come into this game on a 2-game winning streak. Hornets are coming off that nice win at Phoenix on Wednesday, 124-121. Look, the Warriors 5-1 ATS their last 6 games as a home favorite. The over is actually 8-0 in the Hornets' last 8 games as a road underdog. This is kind of tricky here. I think this is, and I sound like a dead horse because I say it a lot with these games. I'm not as confident in, but I think there's a great in-game spot because 6.5 seems a little bit too high. It's not that I necessarily want to take the points with the Hornets, but they're kind of a volatile team. They have the talent to keep up with Golden State, even though they're healthy now, but, you know, not enough to want to warrant a bet one way or the other. So I would hope for, if I was going to be betting it, that the Hornets would kind of keep it close or get out to an early lead and look for the Warriors to come back and win this game outright. I just don't know if they're going to cover that 6.5. Seems a tad bit too high. And then the Blazers and the Lakers, this is going to be a fun one tonight. Los Angeles opening up as a 5-point favorite. That's where they're currently settled at. They're also -210 on the money line, +175 for Portland. 222.5 is where we see this total, which has bumped up from the opener of 220.5. Now, the Blazers have been struggling as of late. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Lakers, we know their struggles they've endured. They're on a 4-game losing streak coming off that loss on Wednesday at Utah. Schroeder should be back for Los Angeles, so huge addition here. And we'll see if that limits or, you know, really affects anything with Damian Lillard. So they have played before. This was way back at the beginning of the season. Blazers got the win 115-107 in L.A. That was December 28th. But Portland's been a pretty profitable team on the road this year, 12-5 ATS. They're also 7-3 against the spread their last 10 games, while the Lakers, 2-8 ATS their last 10. This number was seen, I think it got a little bit higher earlier in the day, so I probably would have taken it 5.5-6 with the Blazers at 5. Going to just patiently wait, but I do think the Blazers keep it close. Still a tough outing here with a key player in Schroeder being back. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some NHL games. There's a couple in the later slate. Plus, we'll hit Prop Shelf after that. So stick around when we return here on Rush Hour. Exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only the one-time playthrough. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Colorado, 1-800-522-4700, Michigan, 1-800-270-7117, Virginia, 1-888-532-3500, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. It is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke, your host here, live at the Bet River Sportsbook, getting you prepared for tonight and the weekend action. And we'll have Lou Finicaro to get you ready with some of that weekend action for UFC Fight Night in about 30 minutes or so. But before we get to Saturday's games, or really Saturday's fights, because we'll be hitting UFC Fight Night, let's talk about the remaining games in the hockey slate this evening, and then we'll get the Prop Shelf next segment. But let's start with hockey right now in Minnesota. The Wild taking on the Kings. Both of these teams coming in on a hot streak. The Wild on a 4-game winning streak. The Kings on a 6-game winning streak. The last meeting they had was February 16th, so not too far away, but the Kings won in a shutout 4-0. In the series, the season series, they've played 5 times. Minnesota leads 3-2. Now, Minnesota comes into this game averaging about 3.1 goals per game. So do the Kings. Defensively, the Kings are allowing 2.7, Wild allowing 2.5. On the year, Minnesota 10-6-0 straight up, 3-3-0 on home ice. On road ice for the Kings, they're 6-4-0. Straight up, they're 9-6-3. Looks like Jonathan Quick potentially in. Nothing's been confirmed for the Kings, but if he does go, he's 5-2-2 straight up this year, 2.81 goals against average with a 90% save percentage. Cam Talbot looks like he might be going for the Wild, 3-2-0 this season with a 2.4 goals against average and a 0.92 save percentage. But interesting matchup here because on the odds end, you get the Wild as a big favorite, minus 180, plus 150 for the Kings. Total at 5.5. So the Minnesota opened at about minus 160. So the attention has been going toward the Wild here. If you want to play with the puck line, taking it the puck and a half with the Kings, you're laying -182. If you want to lay the puck line with the Wild, it's plus 150. It'd be a tricky spot here, right? I mean, you would want to take the puck and a half with the Kings, but laying minus 182 to do it seems a little bit too steep. And laying the 180 with Minnesota on the money line seems very steep as well. So if I was playing anything here, I mean, I think you got to go with the Kings at about plus 150, right? I think that would be your safest play. This total at 5.5, no real strong thoughts. I haven't played too much totals, maybe like one or two so far this year. If I'm gravitating toward anything with the total, though, would probably go to the under, which is where the steam is going a little bit. It's minus 118. The over's even money, but that's really the only direction I would play for this spot. But again, minus 180 seems a little bit too high for this Wild team. I know they're coming off a great win against the Avalanche, but still, the Kings have been on a little heater themselves, and they're familiar foes this season. So maybe look at the dog there with the Kings plus 150. All right, what about in the other matchup? How about the aforementioned Colorado Avalanche going on the road to take on the Arizona Coyotes? The Coyotes plus 155 is the home dog. The Avalanche laying -182 is the road favorite. Total at 5.5. Once again, the over is even money, under minus 118. Colorado 4-3-1 on road ice this year. They're 9-6-1 straight up overall. Arizona overall this season 9-7-3, 6-4-3 at home. But the Avalanche come into this game on a two-game losing streak. Remember, we unfortunately took the loss with them versus the Wild 6-2. Prior to that, they got shut out by VGK 3-0. But the Coyotes coming in on a nice little two-game winning streak. Both they won 4-3 and both against the Ducks. Now, the Coyotes, look, it's been funny because the Coyotes became the eighth team in NHL history to win consecutive games after trailing by at least three goals. With those wins of 4-3. So you might look at that and go, okay, you know, the Coyotes are clicking right now, right? Well, first of all, take into account who they played, the Ducks, who, you know, defensively are fine, but offensively atrocious. And it was in a fashion where, realistically, you can't, that's not sustainable, right? Those aren't games you feel good about winning. So, you know, I get why the Avalanche here, minus 182, one of the best teams in the league, or should be. They haven't been playing like it as of late. Could be a bounce back spot. Maybe Arizona's still not as good as they should be or even as they seem to be. This one is just a complete stay away from me. Don't want to touch it really with anything as of this point. So unfortunately, no hockey action. But of course, be sure to give me a follow on Twitter at DannyBurke5. I'll be tweeting out some plays this weekend if I see any fit. But speaking of plays, we got a couple in the NBA coming up next. We're hitting Prop Shelf here on Beast. Tomorrow, VSiN brings you the English Premier League betcast for the match between Leeds United and Aston Villa at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Presented by BetRivers Sportsbook, VSiN EPL betcast is the best way to keep up with the soccer betting action live during the matches. Join Nigel Seeley and Harry Semiyu as they talk betting during the biggest match of the weekend. And hey, if you're new to in-play soccer betting, don't worry about it. They'll show you the ropes and the smartest plays of the day. Just head to VSiN.com/EPL. Tune in at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday morning. That's tomorrow. Go to VSIN/EPL. It is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. The show is Rush Hour. I'm Danny Burke, your host, and we are live here at the Bet River Sportsbook. All the screens going off right now as everybody in the crowd sweating off their bets for the early slate of games that got underway. Some college hoops, the early NHL game, and some NBA to look forward to. And speaking of the NBA, let's get into Prop Shelf where we dive into the top props throughout the association on this fine Friday evening. And let's start with a guy who got us a dub last night. That's right, Mr. Kyle Anderson with the Memphis Grizzlies went over 11.5 for a little bit of plus money. And they beat the Clippers. Now, he comes back with his points prop, still at 11.5. However, this time the over minus 106, under minus 118. So we kind of already went over this yesterday, so I'll keep it quick. But he's averaging about 14 points per game this season. He's gone over this mark in 14 out of 27 games. As we know, last night hit 13 points, so he got over it. Majority of his shots are coming from mid-range, about 41%. He's hitting 51% of them. And where the Clippers slack defensively, it's mostly at mid-range. They allow opponents to shoot 44.3% from mid-range. That ranks him 24th in the league. Now, this month in particular, he's been even more dominant, 14.5 points per game. He's gone over this mark now in 9 out of 13 games and the last 5 out of 6. So, yeah, it would be easy to go back-to-back with Kyle Anderson here and just ride the over. The thing that scares me here, and we'll get into this a little bit more so with Dylan Brooks, who we'll discuss, is what kind of response is this Clippers team going to have? They're immediately playing each other back-to-back. The Clippers were like an 8.5-point favorite or something like that at close last night, and the Grizzlies get the outright win. Great performance all around from Memphis. But the Clippers are such a good team that this could be just an absolute stomping and a bounce back from the Clippers, and offensively the Grizzlies struggle. Now, that's not necessarily to say that I believe that will happen, but that's always a capability or a possibility, I guess. So this is kind of one of those spots where I'm going to use as a sample size and attribute that later on in the year. Even though we are getting late in the season, I think it's still something important to note out and not just completely rush to go bet it because it's a unique spot. But all right, let's go to his teammate Dylan Brooks, who we talked about, where we see his points prop at 14.5. Now, this I was very close to playing, more so than the Anderson one, actually. And I would look over here because he's averaging 16 a game. He's gone over this mark in 14 out of 25 games this season. Last night versus the Clippers, 6 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 5 beyond the arc, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He dropped 19 points. He's gone over this mark the last 4 games in 7 out of 11 games this month. And in the month of February, he's averaging 17 points per game. He's another guy who thrives from mid-range. 42% of his shots are coming from there. However, he's hitting just 40% of them. But again, the Clippers rank 24th. In defending the mid-range and field goal percentage. So, look, Dylan Brooks, I'd probably have more confidence than I would with Kyle Anderson. I would still lean over for both, obviously, but I kind of like the aspect of Dylan Brooks more so. You know, Kyle Anderson barely got over this mark, and he was shooting very well from the floor. You get more opportunities and a little bit more consistency with Brooks. So if you're choosing between the guys, I would gravitate more toward going over 14.5 with Dylan Brooks. All right, let's switch up the gears with a guy that we definitely have not talked about at all on this show, but we got Atlanta and OKC, and how about Theo Maledon? And Maledon's points prop is at 10.5 tonight, over under minus 110 each way. Now, he stuck out to me in particular because, look, again, 10.5 seems a little bit too high off the bat, but look, he's averaging 7.7 points per game this season. He's been held under this mark in 21 out of 27 games. Only 6 times this year has he scored more than 10.5 points. So where Maledon is getting a majority of his shots, 56% of them are coming from beyond the arc. He's hitting 39% of them, so not too shabby. But look, the Hawks, while defensively, they're really not that good, okay? You know, they're the third best at defending the three. They're limiting opponents to just shoot 35% from beyond the arc. So the Hawks do exceptionally well defending the three, while the rest of their defense certainly slacks. Where they do defend well is at the three-point line, and that's where Maledon, like we said, is getting over half of his shots. So I think he's going to be limited tonight, and he's already, like we said, only averaging 7.7. He's only gone over 10.5 in 6 games this year, so I really think it should be a lower set number. So let's take advantage and go under with Maledon 10.5 points this evening. So that's my first best bet in terms of player props tonight. Let's go to the one that's going to crack my second best bet for this evening. Rudy Gobert. 13.5 is where we see the big man for his points prop this evening as they take on the Miami Heat. Now, Gobert's averaging 14 points per game this season. He's been held under this mark in 17 out of 32 games. But the last time against Miami, February 13th, he went 6-7 from the floor, 4-5 from the free throw line. He ended up with 16 points. It's a favorable matchup against Miami because 88% of his shots are coming at the rim as a big man. Naturally, that's where he's going to spend most of his time. And of those 88% of his shots being at the rim, he's hitting 72% of them. Now, the Heat are allowing opponents to shoot 64% at the rim. That ranks 19th. And also a big factor here, Adebayo is questionable with knee tendinosis. So, look, I mean, Adebayo's already kind of struggling in this spot, whether he's going to play or not. And despite that, still, it's just a favorable matchup for Gobert. If it was at 14.5, I'm thinking we're having a different conversation. But I like this spot here, and I like the number at 13.5. So we're going to go ahead and play Rudy Gobert over 13.5 points. So under, like we said, with Melodon, 10.5, and over with Gobert, 13.5. Those are the two bets we're riding tonight. One that really caught my eye that I didn't end up pulling the trigger on to score more points in that Blazers and Lakers game. Damian Lillard versus LeBron James. Now Lillard, no shock here, is the favorite, minus 152. LeBron is a slight dog at plus 125. The reason, ultimately, that I'm going to stay away from this one is because since Anthony Davis is out, more of the workload and responsibility certainly is on LeBron. Primetime game. They're on a losing streak here. He's going to want to play big here, end the streak, play big in primetime, right? He's sick of losing, obviously. He's averaging 26.3 points per game this month, just 26.2, so barely less without AD in those games. And look, Damian's pretty much averaging 30 points per game, but they're also getting Schroeder back, so that's an interesting factor here. I do think Lillard ends up scoring more, but laying the minus 152 to do so is what keeps me skeptical in this spot, and I think it could be a big game for LeBron to thrive. The last three big men have really been torching the Blazers. Jokic dropped 41 the other day. Ayton, who's not a perennial scorer, he dropped 19. Zion at 36. So who's to say LeBron can't outscore Lillard here? It's not to say I'm betting LeBron, but I do lean heavily with Lillard. But again, we're going over with Gobert and under with Melodon. Those are the two bets in the NBA we are riding. Speaking of riding bets, we'll follow Lou Finicaro next on UFC. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, you get a $250 match bonus. That's right, when you sign up, a $250 match bonus, along with the fastest payouts and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Wrapping up a Friday edition of Rush Hour. Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Danny Burke live here, per usual, at the Bet River Sportsbook. Remember, at Danny Burke Fives, where you can follow me on Twitter. VSiN, you can follow at VSiN Live. And our next guest, our Friday regular, Lou Finicaro at Gam Lou. Lou, my man, you are en fuego. Absolutely killed it this past weekend. First off, congrats to you, and how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing great, Danny, but you've been around this business long enough to know that it doesn't matter what we did yesterday. It's all about what's coming up in front of us, and we have a great card tomorrow night set up.
That's what we love to hear, baby. So let's get right into it with UFC Fight Night for Mañana. Let's start with the bantamweight bout with Vince Cachero, a dog here at about plus 135 at Bet Rivers, taking on Ronnie Lawrence, who's the favorite, minus 167. How do we feel about this matchup between Cachero and Lawrence?
It's going to be a high-energy fight here. Lawrence, the favorite, is making his UFC debut, and he's going to be the taller man, the younger man, and have a slight reach advantage. He's going to come ready to go. He's fighting a kid in Vince Cachero that's actually making his second fight in the UFC. And as we've talked in any sport, the improvement between game one to game two or fight one to fight two can be substantial. In Cachero's case, his first fight was really kind of a favor to the UFC. They were in a jam and they needed someone to fight at featherweight. Cachero stepped in on 2 days' notice to fight a huge featherweight in Jamal Emmers, and he got pistol whipped pretty good. However, he gets a full camp for this fight, and he's on his second fight. I think the odds stack well in his favor, and I'm not necessarily sure he should be the underdog, Danny.
Okay, so Cachero at about plus 135 is where you could get him still at Bet Rivers. Let's take a look at the featherweight bout then. Kevin Kroom, another dog here that's your favorite at about plus 160 is where you could get the plus price. Now, Caceres on the other side, we see this number at about minus $2. So another spot where you're riding the dog, which you typically do. Explain your positioning on this one.
This is going to be an excellent stylistic matchup because Caceres is long, tall, thin. He doesn't have much power, but he has excellent footwork. He's a very fluid mover, hard to hit. On the other side of the cage, Kroom asked for this fight against Caceres. He feels he matches up well to him, as do I. Kroom is a little dirtier fighter. He's not going to be as fluid, as quick, and he's not going to have the footwork nor the striking. But what he does have is the ability to get inside and drag this to the mat. And once this goes to the floor, I believe the hard-hitting hillbilly, Kevin Kroom, is going to be in a dominant position. This is going to be a very competitive fight, but I like Kroom to win this fight.
All right, then women's strawweight bout, Ashley Yoder versus Angela Hill. Now, naturally, Hill, the big favorite here, laying $4, but Yoder's catching about 3-1. Now, sometimes, Lou, you'll make these bets, but it won't be a full unit. It'll be a half unit, and that's what's going to occur here in this fight for you. Is that right?
That's exactly correct. This is one of two rematches from earlier fights where Hill won a close decision before these two ladies were in the UFC. However, Yoder is 4 inches taller, 3 inches younger. She has reach with arms and legs, and she's a lefty. While Hill is a good, solid fighter, she seems to reach a plateau and stick, and Yoder has been steadily improving. I think Yoder switches the table on her here, and for that reason, I think she's a great opportunity. Though I believe she should be a dog, she should be a minus 150, minus 160. And so betting value dictates that we have to try maybe a half unit on Ashley Yoder here.
Sure thing. Yeah, great value with Yoder plus 300, where you can snag her over at Bet Rivers. All right, let's go to bantamweight. That bout, we got Pedro Munhoz at about plus 125 or so. And Jimmy Rivera is the favorite, minus 152. Another spot here, Lou, where you like the dog. What do you like so much about Munhoz in this spot against Rivera?
This is another rematch. And these two guys, every way you handicap it, boy, it really comes out tight. Munhoz entertained Rivera some years ago in Brazil, and Rivera went down there and got a decision over him. I think the tables turn basically because Munhoz has fought two top five competitors in the division in his last two fights and lost. He's in a high desperation mode. Jimmy Rivera was in a high desperation mode prior to his last fight. He had lost two in a row, and he won. I think all the psychology points to Pedro Munhoz here, and I also like Munhoz as the more powerful striker. This will be one of the best fights on the card.
All right, then back to the women's division, the flyweight bout, Montana De La Rosa, about plus 120 at Bet Rivers. At minus 148, you got Myra Bueno Silva. Another spot with that dog, my man. What do you like here about De La Rosa?
What I like about De La Rosa is she secluded herself from her family and went to a new camp to train exclusively for this fight. She's a talented lady. She's going to be the taller, younger, longer woman. And she fights a gal in Bueno Silva that's going to have a dominant position if this fight does hit the floor. So as we're watching this fight, if this is a roll around on the mat, we're going to be in trouble. However, I think De La Rosa has the well-rounded ability and the certain structure and size to keep this standing. And surely on the feet, she's going to have advantage over a fighter in Buena Silva that allows more strikes against her per minute than she outputs. And I think Montana De La Rosa is in a very good position as underdog also, Danny.
All right, Lou, before we let you go, let's talk about the heavyweight bout, the main event. Now, you may not necessarily have a best bet currently, but if you were to handicap this one, how would you play it? Because Rosenstrike is a plus 210 dog. Then you get Cyril Gane at about minus 265. So if you were going to play it, or maybe if you're looking for a better number to get, how do you assess the main event?
Yeah, it's going to be a great fight. Two prospects. On the one hand, Rosenstrike has a wealth of experience over Gane, who's only been in the UFC for about 3.5 years. However, the athleticism, the structure, the strength, and the power of Gane as well, and most importantly, his ability to wrestle and grapple, I think will be the difference here. He won't fight Rosenstrike at distance at both men's strength. He's going to take Rosenstrike down to the mat and make it ugly. And so for that reason, I would hold off. Rosenstrike is a public dog. Gane opened minus 300. I'd continue to let that line drop as we get closer to fight time. If you can get Gane anywhere minus 220 or so, I think you're making a heck of a purchase.
Okay, yeah, so gone at about minus 265 now, but be a little patient and then take advantage of a better line. Great advice, per usual, from Lou Finicaro. Lou, my man, keep up the great work. I'll be looking forward to your winning tweets tomorrow. Best of luck, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and thanks, Danny. Have a great weekend.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Lou Finicaro, at GamLou, is where you can follow him on Twitter to follow along with those winning tweets. And just to recap some of his best bets for UFC Fight Night, coming off a great performance this past week, so be sure to tail him this week. In the bantamweight bout, he's taking Cachero at about plus 135 is where the odds are at Bet Rivers versus Ronnie Lawrence. And the featherweight bout, Kevin Kroom at plus 162 versus Alex Caceres. Women's strawweight bout, Ashley Yoder at 3-1, but that's just a half unit bet, remember. So not a full bet, just a half unit. So Yoder plus 300 versus Angela Hill. And then we take a look at the bantamweight bout with Pedro Munhoz. Plus 125 is a slight dog versus Jimmy Rivera. The women's flyweight bout, Montana De La Rosa plus 120 versus Myra Bueno Silva. And then the lean with the main event in the heavyweight bout. Wait for Gon's price to come down from minus 265. He says it about minus 220. Then look to attack in that spot. But that's pretty much going to cap it off for Lou's picks. Always love having Mr. Finicaro on the program, the best UFC handicapper in the biz. Be sure, of course, to follow him on Twitter at GamLou and get his content at Point Spread Weekly. Just catch him at VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, and speaking of best bets, really quick, if you missed it or if you just want to go over it once again, a couple picks I had tonight in the NBA with some player props. Theo Melodon, under 10.5 points. Minus 110 is where the odds were going up against the Hawks. Look, Melodon thrives. Really, the majority of his shots are coming from beyond the arc. 56% of his shots are coming from beyond that mark. So he's hitting 39% of them. Okay, so pretty much all of them are coming there. And 39%, not too shabby, I get it. But the defense he's going against in Atlanta, overall not too great. But defending the three-point, that's where they do really well. They're allowing opponents to shoot just 35% from beyond the arc, which ranks top five in the league. And then Rudy Gobert, over 13.5 points, scored 16 the last time against the Heat. Adebayo could be a little bit banged up tonight. I think it's a favorable matchup for the big man and potential defensive player of the year. As always, best of luck if you tail. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And if you're following Lou's Bets and Adams, best of luck as well. Love having them on. Big thanks to them. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch you on Monday the next time here on Rush Hour.